All right. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? And we'll. One thing we do here is we celebrate the sacrifice that Jesus did for us on the cross. And we take communion every Sunday, not out of religious habit, but we release our faith in it. We discern the body of Christ. We look at that bread and we see His sacrifice in that. Paul told us that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So, if we do discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have health and healing in our bodies. Amen? God told us how to make this bread. He gave us specific directions, because this is a, in the Old Testament, this was a type and shadow of Jesus. When we look at this bread, we need to see that this is matzah bread, number one. It's made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. There was absolutely no sin in Jesus. Also, this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. Also, this bread has stripes in it. And it's by His stripes we were healed. It's kind of hard to see with these little broken pieces, but when you get a whole sheet of matzo bread, you can see the stripes. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body shed blood, we get redemption in some area for that. This bread has been slightly burned. It means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. God treated Him the way we deserve to be treated so that He could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. His body was broken, and we thank You for Your healing. We may never know the complete significance of the shed blood of Jesus. It may be more than what we'll ever be able to imagine. We can only believe it in our hearts. That shed blood of Jesus washed away our sins. And it's because of the blood of Jesus we can go into God's presence. That blood of Jesus protects us. And we'll see today in our study that God sees us through a veil of that blood. Of this series. The first question is, how Christian are you? There's only one truthful way to answer that. You're washed in the blood, you're saved by grace, and you're righteous by faith. Because it's all about Jesus. Number two, how Christian is your God? It sounds like a crazy question, but sometimes people see God as a demanding, overbearing God. A God that they're afraid of. God wants you to see Him as a loving Heavenly Father. He wants to have a personal, not only a personal relationship with you, but a personal fellowship with you. You know, in the garden, Adam and Eve were in the garden. Evidently, Adam and God would walk through the garden in the cool of the morning. They talked one-on-one. And God trusted Adam so much that He told him to name all the animals And whatever Adam called that animal, that's what it still is today. You never find in the Bible of God ever changing the name of one of Adam's animals. The third question we asked was, how do you see yourself? This is an important question. This is about locating yourselves, finding out where you really stand, asking yourself these honest, pointed questions and answering them honestly. How do you see yourself? You know, the children of Israel, the spies went in, and 10 of them come back, and they said, we've seen ourselves as grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants. Caleb and Joshua, they had a completely different outlook. They seen themselves as conquerors. Little David, the shepherd boy, seen himself as a conqueror with a covenant with God. He went up to the giant and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He was telling that giant that he didn't have a covenant with God, but he did. Amen? Now here's a very important question that you need to ask yourself. How does God see you? How does God see you? See, sometimes I run into people all the time. I deal with a lot of people. And sometimes I run into people that have an abstract view of themselves. And they have an abstract way they think that God sees them. They think that God sees them as a failure. They think that God sees them as a frustration. You know, I've dealt with a lot of people that thought, I should be farther along than what I am. I know that God must be tired of dealing with me. I want you to understand this. God is the one that came up with the concept of love. And any of you that have ever raised children, when you were teaching little junior how to walk, and you showed him how to walk 3 times, did you ever once tell that kid on his 4th time, said, now look, I've showed you this 3 times. If you crash and burn, I'm done with you. None of you did? Not once? How many mistakes did your kid have to make before you got tired of him? Oh, okay. And see, we haven't even came close to attaining anything like agape love the way God showed us. Amen? So if we as humans can love people that much, how much more the loving Father have for us? Amen? I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. What I want you to notice is God's view. I want you to get a view from God's side of the table. How he looks at you. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. God knew you as a spirit before you got your body. He already knew you. You have to understand that you are just the same thing. God is three part. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. A triune being. And He created us in His image, in their image. In their image. He said, let us create man in our image. He made you a living spirit. And He gave you a soul. And He put you in a body. You are a three-part being. Your spirit is the real you. This body that we look at is your earth suit, and you're going to wear that thing out eventually, and you're going to move to a new place. You're not going to die. This is the danger. People think, well, when you're dead, and that's it. That's not it. And people run around saying, you get born again and live forever with God. That's true. But they need to throw in the other part of it. If you don't get born again, you will live forever separated from the Father, and there will be no way to get in contact with Him from that point on. See the dangers? You got to tell the whole picture. But you are a spirit, and you knew God personally before you got born. See, you were in contact with the miracle-working creative God, the creator of this universe. You want to know why there's so much attraction to the supernatural, so much attraction to witchcraft, so much attraction to all the dark arts and all that stuff? People have a craving for the supernatural. You were in contact with the supernatural before you got born. Now, people are looking, before they get born again, they are looking for something they can see, feel, touch, smell, taste, hear. They're looking for something. They can't be spirit-led. They're not spirit-led until they get born again. So they see somebody do something in the dark arts and the witchcraft. They see somebody do something. They've seen it. Or maybe they felt it. And it attracted them. They're attracted to the supernatural. You see now why it's so important for the church to get up out of the pews, go out into the mission field, and go do something. Go find somebody to pray for. Go find somebody to witness to. Go find somebody to help. But do something out there. They are watching. They will see you do something. When they see God do something through you, it will catch their attention. Amen? They'll be drawn to that. He knew you as a spirit before you got your body, and He still knows you as a spirit. Look at Psalms chapter 115. If you're new here, get used to a lot of scripture. You might get yourself a Bible that can handle a lot of miles, because you're going to have a high mileage Bible when you get done here. Psalms chapter 115, verse 12 says, "The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron." He has been mindful of us. I mean, He's been thinking about you. A lot of times people think that they're off God's radar. They Sometimes people think that God doesn't even care for them. Sometimes they're convinced that God doesn't hear their prayers. These are things that the devil wants you to think. The devil gets more enjoyment out of a Christian thinking and talking like that than anything else, because then he knows he's got a defeated Christian on his hands. Know this, that God hears your prayers. And it is yes. When you're praying the word of God, the promises of God in him are yea and amen. This lie that gets preached from pulpits and spread throughout the church world, that sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says later. That's not in the Bible. The promises of God are yea and amen in him. Amen? He heard your prayer. It's up to us to believe it and receive it. That's our job. Amen? But I want you to know that God is always thinking about you. Always. Now go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Verse 9. We were talking about how does God see you? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Here and thou hast done foolishly, therefore from thenceforth thou shalt have war. But the first part of that, God is looking to and fro the whole earth to show himself strong in your behalf. He's looking for you. You know, the prodigal son. This is a curious thing. People like to talk about him wasting his inheritance. That's fine. But here's the thing. The Bible says, when the father seen the prodigal son afar off, he ran out to greet him. You know, sometimes people get to thinking maybe they strayed too far away from God. You didn't. The minute you turn to him, he sees you and he is there. You know, the Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Sometimes people get a distorted idea of God by comparing him with human relationships. How many of y'all have dealt with somebody and finally you just get tired of them and said no more? I'm done with you. Just, I don't even want to see your face no more. Honestly, we've all been there. But not God. He's got a whole different view. You know, a guy asked Jesus, said, how many times should we forgive our neighbor? 7 times? Jesus said, 70 times 7 in a day. He tells us forgive. That's 490 times. I'd get tired of that guy after about 5 times, I think. He said, 490 times every day. And then you're going to forgive them. You're going to let it go. You don't know what this guy did. I've had him in my sights for 3 years. I'm ready to pounce. You better knock it off, because he washed in the blood. and God forgave him, and God will defend him. Sometimes people get a level of self-righteousness going that they think they can hold other people accountable like they're the judge or something. You got to stop. God is the only one that can judge. And he judged you on the cross. And then he justified you freely by his grace when he raised Jesus back to life. But he's always looking for you. He's always looking for you to look to him in faith. Now here's a really cool equation for faith. Look to Jesus and see him in his grace and watch faith happen in your heart. People are always trying to muster up faith. And they get so preoccupied with their own faith that they actually get in their own way. But when you look to Jesus and see him in his grace, he will see faith in your heart. And your answer will be there. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. I don't know how many of you, probably every one of you, probably ran into that book called The Prayers of a Righteous Man Availeth Much. He hears your prayers. Here's the thing. The minute you get born again, you get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're as righteous as you're ever going to be. You're in right standing with him. You are in right standing with him. And because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, God hears your prayers. And he's looking around. He's waiting for somebody to pray. He's waiting for somebody to take him up on his word. He's waiting for somebody to step out in faith. He's just looking for somebody that he can show himself strong for. We got such a good deal when we got born again. And people don't take advantage of it. You know, you got multitudes of angels that have been sent to serve you. And the Bible says that angels hearken unto the voice of his word. People like to mix that up. They say they hearken unto the voice of God. That's not what the Bible says. They do listen to God, but that's not what the Bible says. Angels hearken unto the voice of his word. That means when you take God's word and you speak it out into the atmosphere, like Psalm 91, you speak that out into the atmosphere, those angels have a mandate to go. Go out there and cause God's word to be performed on your behalf. Thousands of them. Not just one bare-butted little angel on a Christmas card with a little bone angel. These are big angels, thousands of them. You know what happens to most angels? They sit on the bench. And they watch Christians get kicked around all the time, get beat up, get banged up. And they're sitting there saying, if he just say something, if he just say God's word, his mouth is running 100 miles an hour. If he just say God's word, we could go do something for him. But he's running around talking about his problems. All the time Jesus said, talk to that mountain. Don't talk about it, talk to it. People run around talking about their problems instead of talking to their problems. When you talk to your problems, it gets those angels involved too. Go to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to go to your favorite verse, Wanda. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This is Jesus talking. This is in red. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus was talking to scribes and Pharisees right there. Not only to scribes and Pharisees, but to you too. He was talking to people that were trying to keep the law. When you do that, your soul is going to be frustrated. I promise you. Because it is impossible for you to keep the law. If you could keep the law, then Jesus is dead in vain. Most of the church world Christians run around and say, well, I'm not trying to keep the law, I'm a Christian. Okay. Are you righteous by your good works? Are you righteous by the blood of Jesus? Well, I do all these good things in the church. I'm not talking about that. I don't care what you do. Those are good things, but that doesn't make you any more righteous. I don't care how long you pray. I don't care how much you read your Bible. I don't care what you do in the community. You're righteous by the blood of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus only. And if you're trying to earn your favor with God, you're going to be frustrated. You can't. There's nothing that you could do that would be more valuable than the precious shed blood of Jesus. If there is anything you could do that's more valuable than the shed blood of Jesus, I want you to let me know what it is. There's nothing. You're righteous by faith. All these other things that you do are good things. And they're helpful things. But it's not going to make you any better than anybody else. Like Jesus said, to learn of me. One of the tendencies for people, when they have a need, they want to go learn about the need, learn about the answer. You know, when they get sick, they want to go learn about healing in the Bible, and that's okay. And when they get broke, they want to go learn about finances in the Bible, and that's good. But the number one thing to do is to learn of Jesus, because I'm telling you, everything that you need is wrapped up in Him. God said that He has freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. The more you learn of Jesus, the more of the things that you need are going to come to you. Don't chase the blessing. Chase the blessor. The blessing is in the blesser. It's all at the cross. It's all right there. It's met at the cross. It's all there. Go to Jesus. Learn of Him. It'll take a load off your shoulders. How many of us need to lose some weight? Yeah, I got a cool text today. I know people don't know me when they send me texts like, you could shed 38 pounds in 2 weeks. I'm sitting there looking at the, honey, you know what would happen to me if I lost 38 pounds in 2 weeks? One of them says you could lose 70 pounds in 2 weeks. Okay, this guy don't know me. I get a kick out of it. If we're going to close with this next one, we won't be able to get through all of this that I've got on how God sees you in one sitting, because He sees you in a way that you can't even imagine. We can only see it by faith. Remember, we were talking about we have to see with faith, with our spiritual eyes. You do have spiritual eyes. You can see with faith. Amen? You can see how God sees you. Go to Romans chapter 8. You know, I always say this chapter is one of those chapters that the devil absolutely hates. And we did a study on Romans chapter 8, and it took a long time to get all the way through that chapter. You should read Romans chapter 8 several times and just look at all the cool things that are in there. All these neat things that God has done in you. But Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Anything? Is there anything that can separate you from the love of Christ? Nothing. Nothing shall separate you from the love of Christ. Well, you don't know what I did. I don't care what you did. Whatever you did, if you think that's stronger than the blood of Jesus, you're crazy. There's nothing that you did that could beat the blood of Jesus. Now, that's a truth for you. Now, here's the thing now. If you're going to truly walk in freedom and understand righteousness and forgiveness, you're going to have to, I mean, that makes you feel good, doesn't it? Nothing, no mistake you ever make could separate you from the love of God, right? Okay. Now, turn it around and point that to your neighbor. You know, the wife beater, the drunk, the one that does everything wrong. You know, the one that you thought was born again. He is born again. If that blood of Jesus is good enough for you, it's got to be good enough for Him. See, if you're ever going to really, truly understand walking in freedom with Christ, you're going to have to understand forgiveness for other people. And you're going to have to let it go. That's just the way it is, folks. Go down to verse 37. says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said He would never leave you nor forsake you. That's the absolute truth. He's God on the mountaintop. It's easy to praise God when you're winning and everything's going good, you know, and everybody's looking at you with a favor and everybody's happy with you and everything's going good and you're happy, joyous, and free. You can praise God, raise your hands up in the air, and say, hallelujah, it's all wonderful. But I'm telling you that He's still with you when you're in the valley. And you're absolutely convinced that everybody around you hates you. The Bible tells us to offer up the sacrifice of praise. You know, when you're in that situation where you can't make anybody happy, it doesn't matter what you do, nobody's happy, nobody's satisfied, nobody can do anything good enough, it's never going to match, it's never going to be good enough, it's just blah, 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 blah. You know how people are? They're blah, 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 blah. And you just feel like, geez, I just want to go somewhere and just forget this whole mess. Offer up the sacrifice of praise. He's still God in the valley. Amen. Amen. He never left you. He didn't forsake you. Praise God. He knows what's going on. You'll be all right. Don't get offended. Don't give up. People give up all the time. Something doesn't go their way this way. I'll just quit. And you don't want to do it my way. I'll just quit. You don't like it. You don't like how I do it. I'll just quit. Just knock it off. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're headed for some pretty serious times. And the devil is getting his butt kicked right now, but he's going to throw one big last fit. And if you get offended over some of this little stuff right now, you're toast later. You're going to have to buff up, show some spiritual backbone, and get ready, because it's coming. And Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen? Well, Father, we thank You for Your word. We praise You in the name of Jesus for everything that You do for us every day. We thank You for being mindful of us and looking on us with favor. Father, we thank You that as we learn of Jesus, we get more and more revelation of what He did for us in His death, burial, and His resurrection. We get more and more revelation of who He is right now, our high priest, standing at the right hand of God, making our prayers heard to You, making them perfect before You. We thank You for Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us and show us how to go, show us what to do. Father, we thank You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we do have coffee and...